here on your listener-supported radio station, on the web at WPKN.org.
I don't know how far I'm going to have to go to see my own self or hear my own voice. I tuned in on the radio for hours and never heard it. I put handfuls of coins into machines and watched records turn, but the voice there was no voice of mine. I mean, it was not my voice, not the words that I hear in my own ears when I walk along and look at faces.
Our theme today for the program is...
I've had some big changes emotionally in the past few months that have helped me a lot to focus on, you know, those goals, those things that drive me.
The whole idea here is to have a better communication ability with our listeners and also have our listeners be able to get in touch with WPKN.
Yeah, I think in a way I just have this image of sort of like the radio station sort of gaining its content through the community. That is to say, the community, as we develop the strip, which I think is a really, really great idea.
Well, we have about 40 pieces. I'm a painter and printmaker myself, and I have to look back up for a tiny bit and let you know.
Personally, I had three small sons who were school-aged at that time.
Boy, so you're kind of living proof of the idea that you can generate emotions.
I'm learning. I'm in no way finished.
I'd like to encourage anyone who's listening. You know, if you have a topic, if you have some suggestions for guest speakers.
They can get a lot of information, much more than I've given.
I think student audiences and audiences of young people all make.
Yeah, you guys sound good. I think it's a good idea to actually open up the air to the listeners so that they can respond and make it more of a two-way thing.
And I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We love PKS.
Thanks a lot.
And good afternoon. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, the general manager here of WPKN 89.5 FM, nonprofit community radio station that is celebrating more than 56 years now, which is quite remarkable. Originally, we were the college radio station of the University of Bridgeport. In the late 80s, we became an independent station. We are, for all intents and purposes, we can be described as a public radio station, but we are actually not a member of the National Public Radio Group. We are actually part of the Pacifica Network of Community Radio Stations, which is actually has its home base on the West Coast in Berkeley, California. We're one of the largest regional affiliates. They have five core stations, but we are really proud of our independence and our community engagement with all the different communities that we serve. And our footprint is quite broad. It's it always bears some repeating, I think, because we serve Fairfield County and New Haven County and Litchfield counties in Connecticut, and also Suffolk County in New York. So we have a potential audience of more than 1.5 million people. So by virtue of having started in 1963 with a pretty large powered transmitter, we have the potential to get to many different communities out there. What I do is once a month, on the second Thursday of every month, I have a chance to do my GM report to the listeners, which is an opportunity to recap some different events that we have held since we last spoke, which would have been last month. Also to talk about some things that we have up on our agenda here at WPKN. I also have an opportunity to bring in members of the community to give some airtime to nonprofits and other community organizations to talk about their history and their mission. So that's a really important part of our programming, to make sure that we are engaging and allowing some time for non-WPKNers to take advantage of this community media outlet. Now, today's report, I'm going to be joined in the studio by Frank Delgado and also the executive director of the Bridgeport Caribe Youth Leaders nonprofit, the John Torres. And also a little bit later, we're going to be joined in the studio by Lori Jones, who is the director of programming for the Quick Center for the Arts at Fairfield University. We may also be hearing either from the Patchogue Arts Council in Patchogue, New York, or from, from Suzanne Kachmar from City Lights, who has a reception tonight in Bridgeport, and we'd like to make sure that she might have a chance just to tell you a bit more about that event tonight. A couple of recap events. Probably the biggest news was our Music Mash 2019, which is our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's a record fair, and we've been at it now for, I think it was our seventh event, which is really remarkable. It started out in Fairfield. It moved to Bridgeport. It's been at the Reeds Arts Center, which is probably one of the best facilities you could ever have for a record fair, because the ground floor gallery space accommodates a lot of people. And it has track lighting, which is fabulous for a record fair where people are trying to look at different types of media, vinyl or CDs. And if you could just hold for one moment, I'll be right back. Just give me just about 30 seconds. I need to let somebody in the back door. Hold on. Well, I've never had to do that before, but we're a little short-staffed here in the office today, and that was Lori Jones on her way up. So, yes, we're talking about the Music Mash 19 event, and, of course, that took place a couple of Saturdays ago, the 2nd of March, and we were a little concerned. There was a bit of a snowstorm beforehand. I remember looking out my window at 4:30 a.m., and saw the snow falling sideways and the winds kind of whipping things up. Not exactly what we were hoping for. We expected have a little bit better weather. We've been lucky for years, really no big concerns. But with the help of the Bridgeport Downtown Special Services District, they really allocated a lot of snow cleanup. And by time 10, 11 o'clock rolled around, we actually started to get very full. And there was just maybe a little bit of a dampening effect from the snow. Otherwise, we had a great turnout. We had at least 850 people there. We had about 50 vendors from all over New England. And we had a great turnout also from WPKN volunteers. As a volunteer organization, we have about 130 volunteers. And Moxanne, we can just, Lori can kind of hang next door until next segment. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Moxanne. And, with 130 volunteers, I mean, I think half of our volunteer staff showed up for that. They have a lot of fun, and we weren't able to accommodate a couple of I know there was a band that was coming over that we're going to try to get them next year, because the crossing on the ferry was a little bit hazardous. I think they had maybe stopped running some of the boats, so that was not really going to work out. We did a lot of social media marketing. We have for years, and that really moves the needle. We had a billboard on I-95. And that was seen by lots of people. Want to thank our kind of back office support for this event, which is a group called Record Riots. They have a number of record fairs around the tri-state area. And they have worked as really reaching out to the vendor community and set up a lot of that, those arrangements for the record vendors to come in and the contracts, etc. We are, of course, we'll be doing it again next year. There's no question about that. And we wanted to also thank Two Roads Brewing Company for their support. They've been with us from the very beginning, as has the Bridgeport Downtown Special Services District. Again, they did a fine job. We also are expecting to move and have future shows in New Haven. We have a date in mind. We've penciled in a date in September. We'll let you know when that's confirmed. But we feel like there's we know there's a lot of anticipation on the part of the vendors. The vendors have really enjoyed the WPKN Music Mash event. So we're going to expand to New Haven in September, and also Patchogue, New York. We're looking at some venues there, and we may be adding that as well to the mix. So again, thank you to all of you who came out for that event and supported us for that very important fundraiser. We were able to net over $10,000. So for our organization at WPKN, that is a really important amount of money for us to bank on. And we hope to see all of you again, either in New Haven or again next year in Bridgeport. Now, we have two events coming up this coming Thursday. They're kind of very different types of event. One is our Music on Film series that we do every month. And we are going to be showing a film that is called Festival Express. And the Festival Express dates back to an event that happened in the summer of 1970, where some of the era's biggest rock performers were taking to the rails of a train that was christened the Festival Express. It was a multi-city concert that traveled from Toronto to Winnipeg and then to Calgary. And the bands that were on the train included the Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin, The Band, the Flying Burrito Brothers, Ian and Sylvia's Great Speckled Bird, as well as Delaney and Bonnie and Friends, and also Buddy Guy. So it was a remarkable experience. There was a lot of archival footage, and then because they had a lot of photographers and cinematographers on that train, and then there were also a lot of extensive footage afterwards, kind of for reflecting back on the fact that for 5 days the bands lived and they slept and they rehearsed together. So you can only imagine it was quite an experience. So that's going to be at the Bijou Theater next Thursday, March 21st, and the doors will open at 6 p.m. with a beer tasting courtesy of Two Roads Brewing Company, and we will screen the movie at 7, and we will have music from those bands again, you know, the Dead, Janis Joplin, and Flying Burrito Brothers for an hour as we enjoy the preparation for the movie called Festival Express. Most people get tickets at the door, and it's a $12 donation. That same night, on Thursday, March 21st, again next week, we are going to be doing a special edition of the WPKN Underground series. It's going to be focused on electronic music, electronic and electronica, and a number of WPKN DJs are going to be kind of showing their stuff. And I believe there's also one outside artist, but Alex Panda and Day 6, Dustin D'Amelio, Eddie G, Tyler Wenning, and Wettest Wook are going to be performing an all-electronic night at the Acoustic in the Black Rock section. It's a $10 donation. So it should be very interesting. I think it'll be worth the checking out. If you're into electronic music, it's going to be quite a happening there. Now, a couple other things just to remind you of coming up. Our next on-air fun drive is going to be Tuesday, April 2nd through Friday, April 5th. And the theme, since we like our themes, we're going to be celebrating, in some respects, this 50th anniversary, I guess it could be 51st as well, of the music 1968 and 1969 across all genres. So not just rock, but we're talking jazz and blues and folk and world music, reggae music. I mean, it was a watershed. Those 2 years, obviously watershed years. Some would say an end of an era. But we're going to kind of keep an open mind and say it was maybe the end, but also the beginning of a lot of other exciting things happening. But that's going to be an amazing couple of days, Tuesday, August 2nd through Friday, April 5th. So that's our next on-air fundraiser. We were going to do a fundraiser on Monday and Tuesday, but we thought we'll just give you all a little bit of a rest, the listeners a rest, give your pocketbooks a rest, because obviously we're listener supported, but we just felt like we needed to take a break after Music Mash, since that was such a big event for us, and we did pretty well. Now, also save the date for a series that we have coming at the East Rock Concert Series put on by Fernando Pinto. We have a benefit concert that is going to feature the music of Tom Paxton. Tom Paxton is going to be there at a wonderful venue, and we hope that we can count on some of our listeners from that area coming to the event. It's going to be on April 6th. That's a Saturday at Mactivity Coffee Bar. And Fernando Pinto has been putting together the series of events, and it's a really rare opportunity. I mean, Tom Paxton is not really going to be touring that much longer. He's about 80, at least 80 years old. And, you know, he's done two other benefit concerts for WPKN, at least two in our history. And it's just a great benefit for us. Legendary singer-songwriter, Grammy winner, Lifetime Achievement Award winner. So it's going to be Tom Paxton and the Don Juans, and that is Saturday, April 6th. And let's see what else we have. A couple other things that's just I did want to mention is the Car Bob trip to the New York Auto Show. That's always a big event that we do, the Car Bob show on Saturday mornings, and it's always Good Friday. So with Easter being so late this year, the event itself is going to be Friday, April 19th. And this is a bus trip, usually at least one, you know, really nice luxury bus, if not two. It depends on how many people sign up for the trip. There are pickups at the right here at the UB campus. There's also a New Haven pickup at IKEA. The pickups are like 7:30 a.m. in New Haven and 8:30 here in Bridgeport, and it's really a fun event. And the ticket prices, all that the link is up on our website. I think it's $65. It may be even $60, but I believe it's $65. But you can double check, and we go down, drop you right off in front of the Javits Center, which is remarkable in the first place. You don't have to worry about parking. And then there's a add-on where we go to Chinatown, and we all have a huge meal. We actually take over a restaurant in Chinatown, and that's additional, but we all split it up kind of family style. And then we're back by 10 p.m. So that's, again, Friday, April 19th. Pencil that in, save that date, and save the date for Tom Paxton as well. So that's a look at some of our events that are going on around this place. You know, we're always very busy, and we're always trying to raise money in different ways. But let me start and turn over to our first guest for today's GM Report, the listeners here on WPKN. I'm happy to have a couple of folks here involved with the Bridgeport Caribe Youth Leader nonprofit organization. John Torres is the executive director, and Frank Delgado is a friend of the group and has been involved in many fundraising capacities. So I wanted to welcome both Frank and John to the WPKN studios. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good, good.
Good, thank you. Thank you, Steve, for having us.
Absolutely. So this is, again, as I mentioned, part of our mission is to have nonprofits come on. And you know, one thing leads to another. I mean, you're here, Frank, because of community engagement and outreach. You know, we heard about you, we met you, and next thing you know, you're here in the studios. And you've had a long history of not only music, but also being involved with many of the Latin-based nonprofits, I understand, right?
Yes. But first of all, thank you so much, Steve, for this opportunity again. WBKN is amazing in terms of what it's doing, its effect on the local community. I was impressed the other day when I got my first tour
around
this building, and it's just amazing. It's fantastic. Yeah, I've been involved for a number of years. I've been in Bridgeport for about 63 years, and I've retired from General Electric back a few years ago, and just kind of spend my time doing some pro bono work, mm-hmm. helping out organizations in the community. I've known John Torres for a number of years and really believe in the work that John is doing. He'll tell you the story of the Bridgeport Gariba Youth Leaders organization that I help and contribute to periodically. It's fantastic work, working with the area's youth. And I'll let you tell, John tell you the real story.
And this is your first time up here, John, right?
Yes,
you haven't been here before. And I know we've had some different folks in over the years from your organization on the communication side. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple years ago. But you are the founder. And I just, you know, I was looking at your website doing some prep here, and it's a real family affair in terms of how it was started. So maybe you can talk about the origin of the Bridgeport Kariba Youth Leaders.
Absolutely. And Steve, also, I want to thank you on behalf of Bridgeport Kariba Youth Leaders for giving us the opportunity to speak about our organization. It was about 16 years ago, my brother Sam came up with the idea of starting a baseball league in memory of our dad, Martin, who used to coach us right down Seaside Park here, you know, on the fields, and while we were growing up. And 4 years prior to that, there was no baseball going on. So we started the baseball organization.
Right. So was your father involved in some sort of a Little League operation
With the Bridgeport Christian Brotherhood Little League.
Okay.
He was involved with that. It was known as the Spanish League when we were growing up. Gregorio Pacheco, who was the founder of that organization with some community members, devoted his life to us as young men.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, we parallel to today, and it looks like we're carrying the same mission as he did, except that we're really elevating it to a new level in which we're incorporating the importance of education and community service amongst our young men and women that we support.
Right. So it started out primarily as a Little League operation, and
yeah, it was baseball. Yeah.
Are there other Bridgeport based leagues?
There's baseball leagues here in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And what separates us, Steve, is the fact that what we're trying to develop leaders, whether mm-hmm. on the field or off the field, and for us, we always tell our parents and even our kids that, you know, making it to the major leagues or the NBA or the WNBA, that's like you probably have a better chance to hit in the lotto than making it at that level. However, to be a professional in a field, whether it be the medical field, whether it be in the legal field, your chances are a lot greater. So we put a lot of investment in what we do around giving our kids the environment, the resources,
right,
and more importantly, the inspiration for them to believe that they can achieve success and achieve their dreams through through education.
Right. Well, I noticed on your website, education actually comes before sports.
Yeah.
So as far as the hierarchy, so and under education, there's a number of areas that I'd like to have you talk about, like tutoring and SAT prep. SAT prep has been in the news lately.
Yeah.
Something tells me it's a little different
with your organization. Yeah, it's a lot different. Yeah. It's interesting, though, that, you know, we're here on the UB campus, and we call UB our home away from home because it's UB and Housatonic where we house our education programs.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And the reason being is because we want to make a college environment normal for our kids and our parents.
Mm.
You know, less than 13% of our parents have attended college, let alone graduate. So they don't understand the entire process, right? And our kids here at UB, they take advantage of our tutoring program, which is geared to grades 3 to 8. And we focus on math and reading.
Mm-hmm. How is that structured? In other words, so you have some facilities,
right?
Maybe courtesy of UB and Housatonic, and it's a very structured type of approach.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have a director of education, Natasha Rivers, does a fantastic job. We work with the universities and the college in obtaining students to be tutors, to serve as tutors. And we have a whole curriculum. We partner with the public schools here in Bridgeport. The superintendent, Dr. Johnson, gave us an approval that we're working with the schools now to pretty much set our curriculum to the students' needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we really focus on what they're working on currently today in school in terms of math and reading, and the results have been incredible. We've had this last fall cohort, we had 38 students there. And the nice thing about it, Steve, is it's not like we put 50 kids in a room and say, okay, let's tutor. We do one tutor to no more than 4 students, so we could do individualistic training versus on skill sets that they need to get developed. And the last cohort had a 14 basis point improvement on their post-test versus pre-test, which is one of the highest improvements we've had. And I feel that because of our collaboration with the school system and knowing exactly what the child's needs are, and we're really focused on developing that need, it's proven great dividends. Mm-hmm.
And roughly, what kind of numbers are we talking about in terms of participants at the younger level? So you have like a younger track and then maybe an older track?
So we go from, we serve kids from kindergarten all the way up to senior year in high school. In terms of our tutoring program, it's grades 3 all the way to 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Grades 3 to 8th. We serve annually over 700 kids. Our sweet spot is around that 8 to 12-year-old range, which covers, you know, like 3rd grade all the way up through 8th grade.
Right.
The more important on the education side and everything we do is all about leadership development.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
also tie in? I see a couple of sections in your story about girls empowerment and boys empowerment.
Right.
So are those two, leadership? Is that kind of your leadership training?
Right. So we do leadership training through those two programs. It's more about teaching them about etiquette, about self-respect, about really the understanding of boundaries and doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve, today's youth are faced with many challenges that probably you and I did growing up. And the advent of social media, technology, which has been good in a lot of ways, has also presented some obstacles for our kids and how to handle it. We're finding more youth experiencing anxiety, depression, thoughts about them hurting themselves like we never did before.
Mm.
So our leadership program is about empowerment, empowering our kids to believe that they are great kids, no matter what somebody else may tell them differently, is it starts with them, right?
Right.
They got to love themselves. And we, one thing that we do is we put them in that environment where we show our love. You know, it's interesting. You said earlier that it was like a family affair when we started. Well, if you speak with anyone that's associated with Caribe, they will tell you that Caribe is family. Mm-hmm. And we really, we say as a family, we celebrate when someone does well, but we also hurt when someone does not. And our goal is, as a family, working together to help these kids, and a lot of times their families, their parents and whatnot, understand that they can do better. Mm. And, you know, we have the tutoring program, I mean, the SAT prep program.
Right,
sorry.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that, because I know that when I had, you know, my kids going through that whole process, it just, exponentially more expensive than when I used to do prep for SAT. And, of course, now some of the outside programs, I mean, you're dropping $1,000 on
easily,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is something that you're able to offer at a much lower rate. I would imagine.
So we do now we hire certified teachers for mm-hmm. this program. We do one teacher to no more than 13 students ratio. Basically, what we're trying to do is teach the skill set of taking the test, because it's really a skill to take that test.
Sure, yeah.
And because it's timed and there's different components to it. So what we've done is it's a 10-week course. It's held every Saturday right here at UB, and it goes from 9 to 1. And the kids that are in the program are pretty committed. Mm-hmm. We've seen that over 80% of the students that have successfully completed the program have enrolled in college after senior year. And 99% of the students are juniors in high school, because that's when you take your SAT,
yeah.
Right? And this past cohort, we had 111 basis point improvement on SAT actual test to the pretest. So it does work. And we only charge $80, but we return $45 of that for their SAT test. So what happens is that, like this last cohort, they the fourth was the, if my memory serves me right, was the last session, and then on the 11th, they took the actual SAT. So everything is still fresh in their mind. Mm. And it's proven to be very, very successful for the students that attend.
Yeah, no, that's a great service to provide, no doubt about that. Now, talk a little bit about this, the youth theater workshops, and that's another way to help empower kids.
Absolutely.
And give them some opportunities at public expression and public speaking, and
that's one. It's a pilot test this year.
Okay.
We've been thinking about it for several years. We had a young lady, Goldie Sanabria, Goldie James, who came on board volunteer. She participated in the Puerto Rican traveling theater. She did some off-Broadway work in New York. And
she lives here?
She lives in Westport. Mm-hmm. And now she's mentoring about 13 kids around the theater aspect. And, you know, it's something for me that I feel so good, because our kids, I feel, have it inherently in them. It's this, you know, performing. It's just giving them that space to do it, right? And so we're looking forward to it. It's been now 4 weeks since we started it.
Okay, good. So it's brand new.
It's brand new, and we're piloting it. And our hope is that, you know, because we like to pilot things, and we want to gauge the interests of the kids. We do a survey to see how much they got out of it, and mm-hmm. if it's worth repeating. And so far, we've received some positive feedback from the students.
And where do you do that?
That's held at Housatonic.
Okay.
So that's held at Housatonic. We have our boys' empowerment, our girls' empowerment, I mean, the boys to men and the girls' empowerment, also held at Housatonic.
And they have a small theater that you can work with?
We have a space, a classroom space, but it's big enough for us to work in,
I think that's important, really, with when you talk about youth and having, you know, having kids myself grow up primarily here in Fairfield County. I mean, there's so much emphasis on sports, right? I mean, right. Everything is, you know, soccer, lacrosse, you know, football, whatever. And it's nice to have the, you know, the creative arts as an option as well, because I mean, not every child is going to be interested in sports, right. And yet there's just seems to be an unusual amount of emphasis and accent on sports, and I think, you know, you're probably going to find that program now that it's been piloted, it probably will catch on, because there are just plenty of kids who really want to explore, you know, their creative side. They may not fit in to the world of sports, you know, and that's fine.
And it's interesting. We have some that are playing both sports and doing both, right?
Even better, right?
Right. And, you bring up a good point about sports and whatnot. And we're also finding that many kids are not into sports like we once did. And a lot of it has to do with the technology, with, like I said earlier, also gaming. Mm-hmm. It's a big industry today. And we're looking at aspects of exploring that as well, because we understand not every kid, like you said earlier, wants to be playing baseball or basketball or cheerleading or softball like we do. Mm-hmm. But there's an opportunity there for us to serve more.
Good.
The other thing, you know, that I'm proud of is the fact that we have our own Russell Colon High School Scholarship and College Scholarship Fund, Caribe Scholarship Fund. And we started this about 10 years ago to help with the tutoring, but also with the SAT prep. And we have our kids that belong to Caribe, which they can apply for these scholarships. Mm-hmm. And to date, we've had 72 recipients receive collectively about $900,000 in scholarships. We've had 11 college graduates, and 7 of them being first-time college graduates and their family, which, again, for us, it's huge. And then all the high school scholarship recipients, upon graduating from high school, they have enrolled into college. You know, we're opening up new pathways, new ways of thinking, but at the same time, raising the bar with our young people that we serve.
You're doing good work. Again, this is the GM Report to the listeners on listener-supported WPKN. I'm Steve DeCostanzo, the general manager here of this fine nonprofit, and we're talking with another nonprofit, with John Torres, who is the director of the Bridgeport Caribe Youth Leaders, and also Frank Delgado, who's involved with the group, has been a member and a supporter of a lot of the different Latin-based nonprofits in Bridgeport. From your point of view, as kind of someone that's not officially in the organization, mm-hmm. you've helped them, and what is your kind of impression of their growth curve?
Well, if you ever come through Seaside Park, right, whether you're walking or visiting or riding your bike, as I often do,
yeah,
around Seaside, you may see the little league that is sponsored by the Bridgeport Caribe Youth Leaders. And at first, you notice some young kids playing ball. It's really organized. You see their placards on the fences there. And you'll never know that they're an organization that runs much deeper, that's wider, that's more extensive. Mm-hmm.